himself in truth, O daughter of truth. He hath led Sig against us. Thou shalt submit the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem,
Ephrathah,
thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. Woes going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will have give them up until the time that she which traveled these have brought forth. Then the remaining of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide from for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth.
Amen.
Amen. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm reading Luke 2:21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young penguins. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see the death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought him into the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, ye a sword shall pierce through thy own soul, also that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.
Amen. 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 We thank the readers for the reading of the word. And our message title for today is Beautiful Facets of the Birth of Christ. And of course, this is Straight Gate Ministries, and this is the message for December 9th, 2007, the year of our Lord. And so we see here, as we are continuing our topical study through the season of Christmas here and into the new year, we have arrived now at this message that we want to present beautiful facets of the birth of Christ. It could be said that the gospel of Christ is a beautiful gem, like a diamond. It has many, many facets. In other words, the thing that makes a diamond beautiful are all the sides that it has. And all the things that, as it reflects on the light from different angles, it's cut beautifully so that it gives off many, many beautiful rays of color and spectrum of light and all that kind of thing. So Christ's birth is kind of a thing like that. Every time we look more deeply into it, we can see that there are more beautiful things about the birth of Christ. And so we're just going to highlight a few of them today in honor of the Christmas season. Most of you know that next week we are planning also, I wanted to include this, to be out of our normal meeting place here at the Skylight Room in North Broadway in St. Louis here in Baden. And we will be fellowshipping, doing a fellowship service with the Hope of Glory Church, which is located on Grand Boulevard. I think it's 3153. I may not have that address right. I don't have it in front of me. But in either case, we will be there. And we will also do an internet telecast from that location also for those of you who are online, because that day we're also doing a service with Friends of Jesus out at the Merrimack Music Theater, and that is for Mission Gate Christmas Angel Mission Party. And so we will have not have a service here on Broadway on next week, in case any of the members happen to be listening who are not here today. We will be meeting at 10 o'clock. The service begins at 10:45 down at the Hope of Glory Church over on Grand. But in either case, we want to talk today just briefly about beautiful facets of the birth of Christ. As we say, it is a gem because it is the greatest treasure that God has ever bestowed upon man. And it has even more facets than the most precious diamond that we could ever behold on earth, because it is a wonderful event that God sent his only son. One of the beautiful facets of the birth of Christ is the fact that his coming proves to us that God only knows what, basically what's going to happen. He knows the future, let's say, because he wrote it down in prophecy many generations before Jesus was born in order to make it so that we would know when he came, that God knows exactly what he's talking about. So when we see things like the prophecy that the young man read here from the book of Micah, we know that God knows exactly what he's talking about. No one else could orchestrate all the prophecies that were written and spoken in the Old Testament by the prophets and have them all come to pass right on schedule with flawless accuracy, particularly with the diversity of prophecy, as you've been seeing if you've been listening to our previous installments in this series. You know that we have looked at several passages, Isaiah 9 and 6. Isaiah 7:14. We took a look at Genesis 3:15. Many, many verses. We're not going to even name them all today. Just go back a few lessons and listen in, and you'll see that all these things pertain to the coming Christ, the Messiah. These things were commonly believed by the Jews in the time Jesus came. And so I wonder today how Jewish people don't still believe the same things that they believed at that time. I've talked to a few recently, a few Jewish people in our time, and have tried to persuade them that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And many of them don't even really necessarily hold to some of the things that Jews commonly believe at the time that Jesus came. And they're documented here in these texts. So we want to see, I just want you to see a few of these. Number one, back at the time when the Magi came to visit Jerusalem, they had heard about Messiah during the time when Daniel was in captivity in Medo-Persia, during the Medo-Persian captivity of Israel. And they had heard that Jesus Christ, the Messiah of the Lord, was coming. And so the Magi came from the east when they saw the star that rested up over the place where he was born. Now, of course, many people have tried to say that this was some astrological event, and maybe it was. I've always thought and been led to believe that it was just like it was in the days when God led Israel through the wilderness, that it was the Shekinah glory of God that hung up over his own son to highlight the place where he was being born. Here we see Micah, the prophet, talking about that place. He tells Israel, now gather yourselves together in troops. He says, gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us, talking about the time when Israel had been taken into captivity. And he says, they shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem, speaking of the small little city of Bethlehem, Ephratah, here it says, the city named Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he, speaking of Messiah, come forth unto me, unto the Father. The Son will come unto the Father, that is to be ruler in Israel. The one who God promised, the ruler, the Messiah, would come out of Bethlehem, Ephratah. This was commonly believed among Jews in that day because we can see it when the Magi, as I mentioned, came forth into the city of Jerusalem, and they came one morning asking, where is he who is born, the King of the Jews? And it tells us in Matthew's narrative of the gospel that when he came, Herod was worried and all Jerusalem with him, it says. So the Jews were worried rather than being glad that Messiah was coming right on schedule. And so basically this news was shocking. Not only that, but they weren't even really looking. The Magi, who we call the wise men, were looking. They were looking to find that time. And they had beheld in the stars and in the sky the star that indicated to them by the prophecy of Daniel that this was time that Messiah would be born. Matthew chapter 2 verse 1 reads like this. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now here they come with news that the people in Israel are not even looking for. They have paid no attention to this event themselves, but someone from another land travels a long distance and comes to let them know that they have seen his star. So when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. The Jews were worried. They were worried about, what does this mean? You know, Herod had no business being the king. He was not a descendant of David. He had no place to a legal right to the throne to rule over Israel. But yet the prophets had written, as Micah said, that there was one coming who would rule over my people Israel, that he would be the judge of Israel. He would be smitten on the cheek, as later on happened in his lifetime. And all these things came to pass. He says, but thou, Bethlehem, speaking of the place where he would be born, O Ephratah, he says, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among thousands of Judah, it was just a small little out-of-the-way town, yet it was the city of David, yet out of thee shall he come forth, the one that God has promised, unto me, that is, to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth has been from old, from everlasting. In other words, he comes from out of eternity, yet he also comes from Bethlehem, Ephratah, here we see, as the prophet Micah had said. Now, looking back in Matthew 2 to continue with the confusion of the Jews, it says, when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes together of the people, he demanded of them where the Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. So they quote Micah to tell the king, yes, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. So now the king's worried. So he's trying to find out about what do your scriptures say, because he doesn't even realize the beautiful facets of the birth of Christ. Instead of rejoicing and being happy that God has sent the Savior, the ruler of Israel and the king of the earth, he's troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. So we see they had a bad reaction to the news. And then it says, and thou, Bethlehem, Matthew 2 and 6, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel, quoting from the book of Micah, chapter 5. So now Herod begins a plot to try to destroy Jesus, and we know about that. But I want you to see that these are very beautiful things. The fact that prophecy that had been spoken hundreds of years in the days of Micah was fulfilled when Jesus Christ was born. This is a beautiful facet of the birth of Christ. The fact that he came forth right on schedule, just as God had promised. And so we see here, It says, basically, therefore will he give them up until the time which she that which travaileth hath brought forth. So God had allowed Israel to be in obscurity all the way up until the time that Messiah was born. Micah had prophesied that in chapter 5, verse number 3. And then it says, then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. Only a portion of the Israelites would still be saved and still be anticipating the coming Messiah, still holding on to the hope that God would send his son exactly as he had promised. Verse number 4 in Micah chapter 5, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. So this one who's coming is going to be great even to the ends of the earth. You know, he's great today. We sang that song, How Great Is Our God. He is great right now. He's going to be great even to the ends of the earth. You can trust and believe in the name of Jesus Christ, the ruler of Israel, the judge of Israel, who came forth right on schedule. This is a beautiful facet of the birth of Messiah. His first advent was one of the most beautiful things. In fact, the most crucial thing that's happened in the history of mankind. So the spiritual things that God has done are only beautiful to those who are able to see them. You know what? If you're not saved, you can't even see the kingdom of God. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So the spiritual things that God has done are only beautiful and visible to those who are able to see them. In other words, those ones who have been born from above, as the King James says, to be born again. Therefore, those who are not saved always fail to know the beauties of the Christ. You know, I have to mention this. I thought I might not mention it, but I went into Home Depot just the other evening to buy some things that my daughter had a problem with, something she needed at her home. So me and her husband, my son-in-law, went in there. And when I got to the counter, I told the lady who was there, which I sometimes do at this season. Some of you know I always teach that at this season of the year that you have greater opportunity to mention Christ and to say things to people about Jesus, to witness for Christ. So I asked her, the lady at the counter, are you all ready to celebrate the birth of Messiah? And I smiled as I said it. And, of course, she looked at me like she came out of some kind of a bag. She was very depressed. She said, well, you know, you're only supposed to celebrate his death. That's what the Bible. I said, no, the Bible. I said, what Bible have you been reading, ma'am? I don't know what Bible you've been reading, but my Bible says celebrate his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. All of that is important. And I said, how can you celebrate a death if he wasn't born? He couldn't die. So you got to be born first before you can die. You see what I mean? And so I put all that on her right there at the counter. And so I said, no, the reason you're not happy, I thought to myself as I left, I said, you're not happy because possibly you're not even born again. If you were saved, you'd be glad to celebrate his birth. I told her I celebrate his birth every day, you know, and every second of every day, especially on Sunday and then all through the year. I said, so Christmas is just another day to celebrate the beauties of the facets of the birth of Christ. He is such a wonderful one. So I shared the gospel with her, and I'm praying she will come around and get some joy in her soul. She was awfully desolate to be standing there working and saying something dismal like that. You know what? Christ's death couldn't happen if he hadn't been born. So if you want to celebrate his death, you need to celebrate his life, the fact that he was born, that he came into the world to die for sinners like us. And so then that'll put some joy in your soul if you really think about what he did for you, you see, and understand that without him you cannot be right in the sight of God. And so basically I shared that with the young lady, and I hope she gets her mind on all of the gospel, not a part of it. Apparently she must be studying under some cult who doesn't teach the proper things, the things that the word says. There are many beautiful aspects and facets of the birth of Christ. So moving on, let us move along. I want you to see also here that Micah said that Israel would be in obscurity, basically, and only a remnant would be saved. But when the Messiah comes, he says in verse 4 of Micah chapter 5, he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord and in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. So we see that he gave a prophecy that would start at that time when Jesus was born and continue on into eternity. Now, some of the people in Israel, this remnant that Micah talks about, were still there. There were some people there who were anticipating the Messiah. They had a genuine understanding of the scripture. They knew that it was time that Israel was ripe for the coming of Messiah, that it was everything was set up according to how the prophet said. They knew this because they were students of the word. People like Mary, Joseph, Simeon, Anna, some of the people who were there in the early chapters in the Gospels. And so here in Luke 2, we decided we'd zoom in on this individual. It says, and when 8 days were accomplished, this is 8 days after the birth of Messiah, who had now been born in Bethlehem of Judea, according to the prophet Micah, for the circumcising of the child. Now, in the law of Moses, they had 8 days from the time a child was born to take him up to the temple, specifically a male child, that he might be circumcised according to the law of Moses. And this was necessary, and they even allowed for the woman who was still in her, let's call it ceremonial uncleanness, because she had born a child and basically was still having issues from her body. As a result of that, she was allowed to come for this purpose, to have the child circumcised according to the law of Moses. So when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. They commonly named the child in addition to the time that they circumcised the child, which was to cut away the foreskin of his flesh, which was so named by the angel before he was conceived. His name was given that beautiful name of Jesus. It says in verse Luke 2:22, and when the days of her purification, you see that according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now this is Mary with her infant son, Jesus Christ, who has been born of the Spirit of God, being escorted by Joseph, Jesus' adopted father. Jesus adopted him to be his father, because he is not his parental father or his actual biological father, as we would say. But as it is written in the law of the Lord, Luke 2:23, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Did you know that, all of you males who are here today, that you are called holy to the Lord because you opened your mother's womb and came into the world and as a male child? That's a special thing. You ought to thank God for it. But in the case of Messiah, it's even more special, because he was the first and only son to open the mother's womb from the inside. Her womb had not been violated from the outside. He was put in by the Holy Spirit, not by a man. And so therefore, when he opened the womb, it was the very first time it had been opened or ever even touched by a man. Jesus Christ came forth from the womb of the Virgin Mary, not ever having been touched by a man. And so he was exceptionally holy for that reason, because he is the only one that was born in that fashion and in that manner. And it says here that they are to, in verse 24 of Luke 2, offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now you had a choice. Turtle doves, the more rich people would tend to offer. Poorer people would offer pigeons as a sacrifice in those days for their sons. So legend tells us that Mary offered two pigeons, because they were not of the aristocracy. Let's say they weren't the rich or the upper crust of Israel, but they were among the poor of Israel. So verse 25 of Luke 2, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Here's one of that remnant of Israel that we read about there in Micah. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Simeon was looking forward to the time when God would send his son, made of a woman and born under the law, to come forth and be the deliverer and the judge of Israel. And he would be a light to the Gentiles, as it goes on to say in that text. Verse 26 of Luke 2. And it was revealed unto him, speaking of Simeon, by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. The Holy Spirit told Simeon that you're going to see Messiah before you die, because Simeon had prayed along those lines and God fulfilled and answered his prayer by allowing him to see the Messiah be born in his own time, even before his death. And then he came, it says here in verse number 27, by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. So Simeon was there and he blessed God. He says, according to your word, bless me. You can let me go now because I have seen, he says in verse 30, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. That's another beautiful aspect of the birth of Christ. He didn't come behind some curtain somewhere hidden away where nobody knew he was coming. He was born in the wide open so that everybody knew that Messiah had come. God ushered him in by the sacrificial, let's call it the cloud of the Shekinah glory that followed him around. And he allowed his son to be seen in the sight of all people. He prepared Jesus Christ to be born in order that you and I might hear of the gospel and be saved. Looking on, he says here, he was prepared before the face of all people. And here says in Luke 2:32, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Those are some wonderful facets of the birth of Christ, that he is a light to the Gentiles. In other words, people like us, other people who were not born into the Jewish family, who are not a part of this lineage, the direct genetic lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but other people in the world, Gentiles, as we are called here. Basically, he has come to lighten the Gentiles, to give us a light and a hope that we can trust in God through Jesus Christ, who came through the Israelites to be delivered to the world. It says, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Simeon's prophecy blew them away, you see, because they didn't know, we didn't know what kind of child this was here that was born. In fact, well, Mary knew, but I think Joseph needed some convincing because he had not gotten Mary pregnant, and he knew she was with child, and he had had some questions. So I believe the prophecy of Simeon lightened up his mind about who this Jesus was, this Messiah that has now been born in Bethlehem of Judea and has now come to Jerusalem to be circumcised on the eighth day. Now notice verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. And right now today, the name of Jesus is spoken against more than any other thing on earth. And it will continue to be that way because people oppose him. And Simeon spoke that prophecy to Mary. Not only that, he said, but yea, and a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. He told Mary, there's coming a day when this very child will be like a sword piercing through your very soul. That would be the day when he'd be crucified on the cross at Calvary in order to die and shed his blood so that you and I can be free from sin who trust and believe in him. And so we see that the fulfillment of prophecies from the old is truly a beautiful facet to show believers the precision and the accuracies of the mind of God, who has told the story before time so that we can easily see that it is true and have faith in his only son. That's the reason God did it that way. He gave us prophecy ahead of time so we could hear about it, see that he fulfilled it. It was precise and accurate. It could not be made up because it's too many things that all pertain to Jesus Christ that all came to pass without a flaw that history bears record of now that could not have been an accident, couldn't be a coincidence, no way, because Moses wrote these things down over 1600 years before the birth of Christ, and even Micah's prophecy was about 500 years before the birth of Christ. And everything pertaining to Christ happened exactly on time, right on schedule, just when God said. And so the fulfillment of prophecies from old is truly a beautiful facet to show believers the precision and accuracies of the mind of God, who predicted ahead of time these things about Jesus the Messiah. Now, although it is normal to be rejected when we present the message, like I told you about that one lady, I've heard worse rejection than that in my lifetime. There's been a lot of people, you tell the message and they'll call you nuts or talk about you or say something bad. But although it is normal, in other words, it is normal, the reason being that people aren't, if they aren't saved, they may have some trouble or they may be convicted when you tell them about the gospel of Christ. But the beauty of Christ, as we reveal the beauty of Christ, we must always be diligent to proclaim the gospel, which is the power of God to everyone who believes. And so you and I have been equipped with a supernatural tool. That is the message itself. When we tell people the good news, the gospel of Christ, God will take that good news and make it real to those who hear it. And so you and I are blessed with the privilege to go out and share the beautiful facets of the birth of Christ. You know what? I have never convinced or made anybody believe or be saved, and no preacher anywhere ever has. All we do is tell the message. We tell the good news that God has made a way to cleanse you of your sin. If you trust and believe in the name of Jesus Christ, the Bible says he will save you. You will be saved. All you do is believe. Trust in him. Believe in him and lean not on your own understanding. You know what? I quit trying to figure everything out, but I keep seeing God teaching me more and more as time goes past. And so I find myself growing in the knowledge of the Lord. And so will you if you trust in the name of Jesus Christ. Realize that he alone is able to cleanse you. He's the only one who has defeated the grave, death, and hell and got up with all victory and all power in his hands. And he did that to show us that he is God in the flesh. God the Son has come in the flesh in order to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we believe in him, the Bible is very simple and basic in that point. As we all quote, John 3:16 is a great Christmas scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So Jesus was on a mission of salvation, and he will save everyone who believes in him, no matter who you are, no matter what you have done. That's why we call it gospel. It's great news that God is willing to save you no matter what you have done. You know what? It was great news to me because I think about all the shortcomings in my own personal life. I think about how many times I have failed the Lord and have not done what he said and his law. But then I see his mercy and his grace when I see the gospel of Christ, that he sent his Son in order to cleanse us from all sin. And so I'm thankful that God has done that, and I thank him for that. And that's the reason why I stand even today. And so we're going to have a closing word of prayer, and we will wrap up our thoughts here for today. And we'll meet again, as I mentioned, next week at the Hope of Glory Church, where the pastor there is the Reverend William L. Gwynn. I think he's got an L there. I don't know where I got that L from. It may not be there. But he's Jimmy Gwynn. We call him all the time. He is the pastor. And we will meet with him and his congregation on next Sunday, Lord willing. Let us pray. Blessed God, our Father, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for every beautiful facet of Christmas that you give us when we think about the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray you cleanse us of our sin, give us faith to believe, help us to know that you have done everything necessary in order for us to be clean and free from sin. Let this be the best Christmas we have ever had. Oh Lord, even if we'd go about with nothing, which you have blessed us with so many things, but if we have less material stuff, teach us to be happy anyway, oh God. Bless us that we might be joyful in Jesus Christ and him alone, and the fact that he has cleansed us and saved us from our iniquity and from our sins. We thank you, Father, for raising him from the dead, seating him at your right hand, in order that we might know for sure that you have forgiven all who trust in him. We bless you, we give you praise. We ask it in his name and in his righteousness. Bless us that we might have that confidence and faith like Simeon did, waiting for and looking for the second coming. You promised that your Son would be back. He would come back on a cloud with power and great glory. Make us ready for that second return when he comes back, which will be the most important event in human history. Help us, Father, to be ready and looking forward and hastening the coming of the day of God. Bless our families, our homes, our children, our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, and even our enemies. We pray for everybody, even those who are antagonistic against the truth. Bless them that their minds might be prepared, because we know it is not your desire that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and all should come to the knowledge of the truth. Help somebody understand this gospel, and we will be careful to give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. We ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our matchless Savior. And in his righteousness we pray. Amen. Amen. So if you have any comments, questions, or anything of that sort, even though we're here few in number today, you may ask them at this time. Any comments, questions, young men? Amen. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and save this. And we will try to get everything set up for our service for next week. Amen.